Just love those chubby cheeks of the babies coming up front. You just can't beat that. Very exciting for Tommy and Anissa. Some sleepless nights now, of course, but I'm sure that they will be happy to take that with that little joy in their life. At the end of the lesson this morning, a couple of our elders and their wives will be out in the conference room, which is out to the left when you go out the back doors here, if you would like prayer. And I know a number of you have taken advantage of that, and I'm glad that you have, and I'm glad that's available for you. If you're interested in knowing more about Jesus, you've been reading your Bible, you want to know more about what it means to be a Christian, how to become a Christian, they can help you with that as well. But we can help you with that this morning. If you're interested in being baptized, we certainly would be excited to do that for you this morning. If something that you hear in the lesson moves you in that direction, then please let us know at the end of the lesson if that's what you like. As we think about the sweet spot this morning, let's go to God in prayer. Father, we know that you have only good in store for us, that you only want good for us, that you want us each to find the sweet spot in our lives, that ultimate joy and happiness that you would provide for us, life to the full. And as Father, we reflect upon this morning what you would want for us and we would even want for ourselves, ask that you help us to be open in our own minds and hearts to what it is that we really find in our lives or seek in our lives to bring meaning and purpose to us. It is through your Son we pray. Amen. Well, Jill went through a long and nasty divorce, which cost her thousands and thousands of dollars, but took an even greater emotional toll. So she was a wreck emotionally. Her self-esteem was shot, and she was very lonely. And so she began pawning off her children on family and friends to go out at night. And it didn't take long for her to find someone that would ease her loneliness. The problem is, he didn't stay around, and neither did the next one stay around. And so then she turned to gambling, and then she turned to alcohol. And then one night on the way home, she met the boys in blue. And it wasn't long after that that CPS paid her a visit. And Jill began to watch her life just crumble before her. How could all of this happen to her? All she wanted was to be happy. Well, truth be told, really, that's what we all want, to just be happy. The 17th century French philosopher Blaise Pascal said, "That's what everyone wants, and that's what we only want. And we cannot help but want to be happy." It is self-evident, and if you need an example of that, just walk across the campus at SFA this fall and stop any student and ask them, why are you spending so much time and so much money here at the university to get yourself an education? And you might get a response something like this, well, I want to get a good job when I get out of school. Okay, why do you want a good job? Well, I'd like to have a nice house and a nice car, maybe take some vacations to Europe. Okay. Why do you want to do that? Well, because I want to be happy. Oh, okay. Why do you want to be happy? And then watch them give you that look. Well, duh. I mean, that's what everybody wants, right? And we're after that happiness. We're interested in being happy people. Only miserable people, or only people who are sort of mentally deranged, walk around wanting to be miserable all the time, right? All the rest of us would like to be happy. Greek philosophers talked about this in terms of a virtuous life. They said to really find ultimate happiness in our life, we would seek the virtuous life of being what we were supposed to be and doing what we are supposed to do. American philosopher Ellen Cherry says it like this. Let's take the example of a healthy sugar maple that is providing the very best sap that it can. We might call this tree happy because it's fulfilling its purpose in creation. Or take the example of a honeybee that is contributing to the flourishing of its hive, the production of honey, and the pollination of plants. This bee, too, might be called happy since it fulfills its function. It's the surest spot, the sweetest spot. You know, when you've got that sweet spot, if you're a golfer, right? And you hit the ball in just the right spot on the club, and the club's facing the right direction, and you feel it, and the ball goes where it's supposed to go. And it goes a long way, right? Nice and straight. You didn't slice, you didn't hook. Or a baseball player when they hit the ball on the sweet spot. Very often, of course, they miss the ball completely, but maybe they'll hit it with the top of the bat, and it'll go backwards. Or they hit it off the end of the bat, and it just dribbles out into right field, and they get a single. But every now and then, they hit it in the sweet spot, and it sails over the fence. And they just are gratified with it. And they kind of stand there and just admire it a little bit. Sometimes the pitchers get a little perturbed if they admire it too much. But they've got the sweet spot. In life, the sweet spot is doing what we were meant to do and being what we were meant to be. And we take this great satisfaction, like the honeybee has this satisfaction, or the maple tree, this satisfaction. That's what Eric Little, the British runner, was getting at in the movie Chariots of Fire when he spoke about his own life. He said, "I believe God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." What was he saying? He was saying that I'm in the sweet spot. And Michael, a couple of weeks ago, this is what he was getting at when he shared us that quote from Frederick Buechner. "The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." That's when you're in the sweet spot, being what you're supposed to be and doing what you are supposed to do. Of course, the Greeks weren't the only ones talking about this. Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." The sweet spot, the Apostle Paul said, "I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation." And the whole book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament is all about the sweet spot, all about this happiness in which we all search. But happiness is not what it used to be. What passes for happiness in our day is what you would classically call hedonism. Hedonism is often associated with people looking for sexual pleasures, and it certainly involves that, but it really just involves pleasure. We're seeking purpose and meaning in life and pleasures, and that may be simply enjoying a good book with a cup of coffee out on your porch in the morning, watching the birds fly around, and that's where you find your meaning and that's where you find your purpose. Somebody might find it in flying an airplane or fishing or playing golf or whatever we're going to do, and maybe there's the adrenaline junkies rock climbing or bungee jumping, but that is the purpose and that is the meaning of life, and that is classic hedonism. Here, now, wow. And so there's that euphoria, the wow of hedonism, where you get it again, whether you get it in rock climbing or bungee jumping or whatever you're going to do, but it's that new thing very often. You know, we're going to get that new thing that's going to give it to us, the new car, the new house, the new gun, the new lover, which is the reason we spend more money on more stuff to get that feeling again. And now is when we want the wow, which is why we impulse buy. It's why we get ourselves involved in affairs. Happiness is living in Willy Wonka's chocolate factory or something, the adult equivalent of that. But if that's really what happiness is, then we'd have to confess that much of the world is not very happy, right? And we'd have to confess also that we find ourselves floating in and out of happiness. Because happiness is quite fleeting. I was happy, and then I got sick, so I wasn't happy anymore. I was happy, and then I got a pay cut, and I wasn't happy anymore. And religion easily falls into this hedonism, telling us about how we can be happy, about how we can flourish. It's often called the health and wealth gospel. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The question was posed to Jesus. The assumption was, if you do right, things will go right. Things have not gone right for him. He was born blind. Somebody's responsible for this. Who? Him or his parents? And once we figure it out, we'll know what the cause of all of this is. There's no shortage of health and wealth gospel preachers in our own day. If you think positive thoughts and have enough faith, things are going to go great for you. You're going to be blessed, by which they typically mean healthy and living in prosperity. One writer said this: if you're always thinking positive, happy, joyful thoughts, you're going to be a happy, positive, joyful person and will attract other happy, upbeat, positive people. Here, now, wow. Bruce Wilkerson published his book in 2000, The Prayer of Jabez. Prayer of Jabez was based on this one little quote out of the book of 1 Chronicles. Jabez cried out to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain." And God granted his request. Wilkerson went on to write it in his book, "I challenge you to make the Jabez prayer for blessing part of the daily fabric of your life. To do that, I encourage you to follow unwaveringly the plan outlined here for the next 30 days. By the end of that time, you'll be noticing significant changes in your life, and the prayer will be on its way to becoming a treasured, lifelong habit. I'm not sure which is more astounding to me, that he was able to write a whole book on one verse of the Bible, on this person that's hardly known at all in the Bible, or that over 9 million people purchased this book. Because what he offers us really is the hedonistic shortcut. Just say this prayer every day and everything's going to go well for you. You're going to be quite blessed. Too bad Jesus never knew this prayer, right? Maybe he wouldn't have been crucified. Too bad Job didn't know this prayer. This is really the spiritual version of a diet pill. And it's nothing short of magic if you think about it. Just say this incantation over and over and over again. If it were coming from a witch doctor, it would be laughable to us. But this incantation, just say this prayer, this incantation over, maybe throw a little Eye of Newt in there, and everything's going to work out okay. But maybe that tells us 9 million copies how desperate we are for happiness. There, of course, has been pushback on this. I'm giving you pushback on it this morning, but plenty of pushback on this health and wealth gospel. People will say it's not about being happy, it's about being holy. Jesus has called us to die to ourselves, to give up our rights for the rights of others, which is all true. But of course, if that's pushed too far, that can go south on us as well. And before long, what we find ourselves saying is, you know, the gospel is really not about being happy. It's about pushing off and sucking it up and pushing it off till somewhere down the road. So we're going to live our lives looking like this guy all the time, right? You know what? I'm a Christian. And boy, one of these days, I'm really going to have it good, right? But I certainly can't have the good life now. Does that sound attractive to you? Does that sound like Jesus saying life to the full? There's every indication from Scripture that God actually wants us to be happy, to have this full life. The Hebrew word for this is esher, which is translated usually as blessed, as we heard in the psalm this morning. Although the Scripture, the one you used, Will, was, I think, used the phrase joy, which was interesting. But blessed, from Psalm chapter 1, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditate on His law day and night. God wants us to be blessed. The sweet spot is in following God's way. God has this direction for us. He wants things to go well for us. So don't go over here and don't go over there, but go in this way that God would have you go, and things are going to go well for you. If you walk, sit, or stand with the wicked, they are going to go badly. But if you follow this path that God has laid out for you, things are going to go well. The New Testament speaks of this as keeping in step with the Spirit. The book of Proverbs says it this way: trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. So what is this life, this sweet spot like? The psalmist goes on to say, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Now, of course, prospers for the psalmist doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be rich or you're always going to have great health. You're never going to have any heart trouble. You're never going to have any kind of cancer. What it means is you're going to find your true purpose in life, what you were meant to be, what you were meant to do. You're going to find that sweet spot in life where you will be, as the athletes say, in the zone, like the maple tree or the bumblebee, finding its purpose and living up to it. And Jesus spoke of this kind of happiness, but it was certainly not the hedonist kind of happiness in the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Blessed are you who mourn. Blessed are you who are persecuted. People who are insulted, blessed are you. There's lots of Christians in the Middle East these days who are having a hard time of being Christians and are being persecuted in large ways. Blessed are they? Those who have lost loved ones recently and mourn, blessed are they? There's no way to think of this as being blessed or full of joy or happy if we think of the hedonistic sense of happy. But Jesus isn't telling us we're blessed because of these things. We're not blessed because we're persecuted. We're not blessed because we mourn. We're blessed despite these things. Because we have something deeper and stronger and greater and more lasting than the hedonistic sense of happiness. We have this life in God. We have this sweet spot. And no matter what's happening, be it the persecution, be it the mourning, be it the insults, we have this wonderful, great thing. We have this life to the full. We have this sweet spot. And so we have found that sweet spot. We have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. We have this peace that passes understanding. It might surprise you to discover that Jill was actually a person who attended church, was there most every Sunday, said her prayers, sang the songs, took the communion. So how is it that her life could become so unraveled and such a mess when she seems to trust in God so much? But in her heart of hearts, what you discover is that Jill was really a hedonist. She was showing up to sing the songs, showing up to pray to God, showing up to take the Lord's Supper. But it was really not God she was worshiping. It was the things that God provides. Jill's hope was not in the blesser. Her hope was in the blessing. And so she wanted those blessings to fill the role of the blesser. And because of that, she could never find her sweet spot, that true happiness that she was looking for. Her tree was certainly planted somewhere. It just wasn't by the water. So this morning, I would ask you to ask yourself, where is my sweet spot? Where is it that I find my real meaning and my real purpose in life, this fulfillment that is going to give me something that will last on and on and on? Is it in the blesser or is it in the blessings that come from the blesser? Satan came to God and he said, just been roaming around the world. And God said, if you consider my servant Job, there's nobody like him. Man, that guy is the best, cream of the crop, righteous guy. Satan says, no way. No way. You know what that guy is? He's a hedonist. Because if you take all that stuff away from him, he will curse you to your face because he's counting his life on all the blessings you provide, not you, the blesser. And God says, that's not true. You can take stuff, just don't take his life. And Satan does. And if you know the story, in the end, God is proved right. Job is not a hedonist. What about you? When you think about your purpose and your meaning in life, you think about all the blessings that you have, the home that you have, the family and the friends, all the great things that you have going on in your life that you really take such great joy in. Maybe it's flying in the airplane. Maybe it's sitting out on the back porch and reading a good book and watching the birds fly around. Maybe it's fishing. Maybe it's golf. Whatever it is, all those great things you take blessing in. Ask yourself, where would I be? Would I be fulfilled? Would I have the sweet spot if they all went away tomorrow? Let's stand and sing.